Coming up on podcast 1149, Tesla beats the German automakers on their own home soil. Stick around, I'll tell you more. Also on the podcast today, why more than one police department are buying electric cars. The Lightyear one gets profiled. I'll tell you who's going to make that car if it makes it to production. And why VW are changing their battery plans to get cheaper EVs on the road. Well, good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you're listening in the world. Welcome to EV News Daily. It's Tuesday, 20th of July. My name is Martin Lee, and I go through every EV story, so you don't have to. We'll kick off with something that I found on Twitter, actually, and it was a story on a website called Leasing Broker News. I can't say I've been to that website before, but very good it is. And it broke some news about what fleet buyers are ordering. June saw orders for pure battery electric vehicles overtake combustion vehicles for the first time at the independent leasing and fleet management company Zenith. Now, I've heard that name before. The transition to pure electric cars accounts for 54% of all of their orders in June for vehicles being leased for fleets, compared to 32% in the same month last year, but, you know, year-on-year COVID, beware. Demand for electric vans has particularly increased in June to account for 69% of all van orders. June 2020, 1% of all van orders from that leasing company. Over the last 12 months, demand for fully electric vans has built to account for about 1 in 3 van orders, says this website. Zenith says the salary sacrifice scheme also helping company car drivers to transition to pure electric cars. Let me explain if you're not in the UK. Salary sacrifice, kind of what it sounds like, but it is a scheme where you can give up some of your salary. It's pre-tax, so it's a very tax-efficient way of owning an EV, because rather than earning that money, giving that tax money to the government, and then giving the money to the car leasing company or the finance company, it goes straight from your employer to them. And so in one scheme, 85% of orders have been for pure battery electric cars, the remaining 15% plug-in hybrid cars. And of course, the amount of carbon saved is fantastic as more fleets do go electric, because many of those vehicles are working vehicles. They'll do two, possibly three shifts a day, some of them working 24 hours just stopping to charge. And so there you go, a little bit of EV news. A nice data point to start with on the podcast today, showing that, hey, when fleets are leasing their vehicles, they just want to buy electric cars more than combustion. Next, Tesla Model 3 is Germany's number one EV. VW doing okay with their small E up on the year, but the German plug-in vehicle market was 64,000 last month in June. Both pure electrics and hybrids, plug-in hybrids, I should add, are rising. The plug-in share was 24%. Like, isn't that amazing, right? A quarter of Germany's car market had a plug on it. Like, just go back 2 years, and that would have been an insane thing to say, look, we're, you know, even with COVID year kind of stopping the car industry in its tracks, and we're a couple of years away from a quarter of the cars being sold in like, the car-making Germany have got a plug socket on, and that is split pretty much down the middle between pure electrics and hybrids, but pure electrics outselling plug-in hybrids so far over the year. Says cleantechnica.com, the yearly plug-in vehicle market share is 23%, so pretty much the same over the year so far as the month of June. 312,000 plug-in vehicles have been registered in the first half of the year in Germany. Cleantechnica call it the disruption zone, well ahead of last year's 14% at this stage of the year. Looking at last month's bestsellers, Tesla Model 3 was the winner in Germany. 4,500 deliveries, and a new record for the Model 3 in Germany. If you're wondering, oh, how's the Model Y doing? Yep, that isn't on sale yet. It will be soon. I think it might even be on sale now in Germany. If you go into the design studio, I think you can order that car now. Pretty sure you can. Just not being delivered yet. It'll be coming from Shanghai. Tesla's top seller ended ahead of the two Volkswagen front runners. The E-Up continues to sell really well in Germany, and the VW ID.3 having its best score of the year so far in June with 2,500 registrations. VW will have a stronger second half of the year as the supply of their cars increases. And of course, you know, Tesla do have a supply imbalance, I'll call it that. It's obviously by design. It's just when the ships turn up, so they don't drip feed the European market. It tends to be stacked towards the end of the quarter. Once those cars leave the factory, most of them in Fremont, and then coming here, and they all get registered by the end of the quarter. Should mention, new models in the top charts. The Ioniq 5 from Hyundai is now in the charts in Germany. Right-hand drive models not on sale yet. They're still on the boat from South Korea. It scored 514 registrations in Germany. Any of my German listeners, have you seen an Ioniq 5 driving around? Second month it's been on sale, by the way, in Germany. The Opel, or I would call it a Vauxhall, same thing. Mokka EV, pretty attractive model in the Vauxhall lineup. That got 655 registrations last month. And another Stellantis model reaching the table soon, the Fiat 500e and the Corsa EV. We've got a fascinating, really, selection of city and small family segment EVs on the sale in here in Europe now, and it really does add to that that list of options that, you know, my US listeners just don't have at the moment. Next, we'll talk about the New York Police Department loving their Tesla Model 3, bought it for highway patrol, long range version they bought, and of course that costs $47,740, so not cheap for the police department, but they did buy it last month, and they said that the long range version is optimized for police highway patrol operations. Other police departments have bought Teslas and say they're saving thousands of dollars in gas. Back in December, when Hastings on Hudson unveiled a new electric patrol car, the department north of the Big Apple told News 12 it could save $8,500 in fuel within 5 years, says FoxNews.com. But what about in other places? Well, there's one particular area where the police have bought a Tesla Model 3. They say the purchase premium over their usual vehicles was recovered in just 1 year. After 4 years, they made so much money in savings, they could buy another Tesla. Using a Model 3 for police duty was the idea back in December 2019 when Westport Police acquired one as a fully customised police cruiser. Went in sale just before on sale, in action, I should say, into service after they bought it in Feb last year. And according to Westport Police, it's been fully tricked out for law enforcement. And biggest item in the customization list is the license plate reader. They could save some money because they could tap into the technology native to Tesla. I don't know what that is, but it's great. By buying a Tesla, they get to save some money. As far as discounts go, there was no charge for the added cameras, lights and siren, etc. Because this was a pilot vehicle, I imagine if they'd buy a load more, those people that do those conversions would then ramp the price up. It was more of a test vehicle, really. Had to put a spare tyre in it for $800, and they had to have a charger installed at the police station in Westport, and so that's $1,000. They're doing two shifts a day in it, and they do a single charge. They charge the vehicle overnight, and they think if that's the usage pattern of future electric vehicles, particularly Teslas, it's a no-brainer. They'll definitely be buying more. They do 23,000 miles in a year. So, hey, a nice little few stories there from the police forces going electric. On the way very soon, we'll talk about which cars could be shown off at a forthcoming motor show, and also how Tesla's expansion in Germany is going very well, but not at the factory you think I'm talking about. Stick around, and I'll tell you more soon. Now we'll talk about the Mercedes-Benz G-Class coming as an electric vehicle being shown at IAA. Now, IAA normally in Frankfurt. This year, they're pitching themselves as more of a mobility show, indoor, outdoor experiences. It's in Munich, not Frankfurt now in this year. A new report from the German magazine MB Passion blog claims we get the first look at an all-electric G-Class in September at the IAA. It's believed to be the EQG, unveiled at the show, with a production model coming next year as a 2023 model year. Technical specifications not known, but, you know, it'll be four-wheel drive, won't it, if it's an electric G-Class, so dual electric motors at least, if not a I would say maybe an AMG version or something with three motors. EQG won't be a dedicated EV, though, as is the case with cars like the EQS and the EQE, built on a pure electric platform. more likely to take the shape of a bit of an electric adaption of the existing platform upon which the G-Class is built. It'll, of course, have the off-road tricks. And, you know, electric motoring is so good if you are off-road because you've got that instant... that instant and infinitely adjustable torque available from zero RPM. The battery size could be, they say, rumours 108 kilowatt hour battery, range of 300 plus miles, that's 500 kilometres. And what else could we see at IAA this year? Well, a rejuvenated smart brand will use the show this year in Munich to show off, well, Mercedes-Benz, of course. It's a German company, it's a German show, showing off what they are doing to reinvent and rejuvenate smart. The leading designer is Mercedes-Benz design chief Gordon Wagner, and saying that the future smart cars will be bigger, a production version of a concept, a subcompact model. So not the little diddy smart cars you can imagine, but something in the subcompact format, like a Mini Countryman, right? So smart continuing to offer a new generation of its traditional mini cars as well. IAA starts on September 6th, and we'll see what smart are going to come back to the market with. Right, we'll talk about Lightyear next. Valmet Automotive, a name that I don't know a huge amount. They're a manufacturing contractor. They delivered like the Fisker Karma, the original Porsche Boxster before Porsche making it themselves, and the Cayman, Saabs, Mercs, all been made by this company, this manufacturing contractor. And they're now going to be in charge of producing the Lightyear 1, says Auto Evolution. Gus at Auto Evolution pointing out that the Lightyear 1 is the car with substantial solar panels over the body, 710 kilometres of range on a 60 kilowatt hour battery pack. So doing a lot with a little bit, and it'll be one of the most efficient electric vehicles ever made when it hits the market. It'll do 11.8 kilometers per kilowatt hour. That's 7.3 miles per kilowatt hour. A very slippery looking car, and of course some solar for a little bit of micro generation as well, depending on where you live. If you are in Germany and you're an engineer, you might be excited about what's happening there with your industry. Well, back in May 2020, VW announced a 26% stake in the Chinese battery maker Guozhen. Or Guozhen, do I say that? It's the third biggest EV battery maker in China behind CATL and BYD. Well, VW invested because they knew they needed to get batteries in their supply chain. They're going to build 6 gigafactories in Europe this decade. VW Group are going to build their second EV battery factory in Salzgitter in a joint effort with Guozhen High Tech. They're making the low-cost batteries there. Now, the first battery, it was that partnership with the Swedish company, the set up by the ex-Tesla guys at Northvolt, but Northvolt are going to stick to making the more high-performance batteries for VW Group, and the Chinese are going to make the Chinese collaboration is going to be in Germany with VW, what they call the unified cell. So it's going to be more like a big video cassette, if that makes sense. So hard sides and an enlarged old VHS cassette, much bigger than that, but the same kind of proportions. Not the pouch cells, if you've seen pictures of those, and not the cylindrical batteries that Tesla are most famous for using. And that will go in all of VW, those cells, the unified cell, exactly the same across all the VW brands, apart from when you want to do high performance. Porsches and Audis, they are going to have a different chemistry and a different battery format as well. Otherwise, VW saying, we think this is the best way to do it. Not cylindrical cells, not pouch cells, but those cell blocks to scale up or scale down, depending on what car we're making. Tesla in Germany are almost finished with their factory, but it's not the one you think I'm talking about. I always have a little chuckle to myself when people who... want to comment on Tesla in Germany saying, oh, the factory's taking a long time. It's meant to be open by now. They're learning how the Germans work. And I, occasionally, if I can be bothered on social media, I'll point out, oh, no, Tesla know very well how the Germans work. 4 years ago, they bought a family engineering company, Grohmann, who worked with many of the German automakers to help their production lines be more efficient. Well, of course, Tesla acquired them, a German company, 4 years ago, booted out old man Grohmann and changed the name to Tesla Grohmann Engineering and, or was it Automation? And they make the bits that go inside Tesla factories. They terminated the contracts with the likes of the BMWs, the Mercedes of the world, and it's, well, of course, it's Tesla's company now, so they have already a German workforce and a German factory. And so those lines in Fremont, the famous tent and the Model 3, yep, well, the stuff was on planes, flew from Germany to California to actually make the construction of the production lines. Well, recent videos of Tesla Grohmann is showing that over the last couple of months, the facility has really expanded and is nearing completion now. Of course, you know, if there's Tesla building something, there'll be drone footage on YouTube. Considering that Tesla Grohmann is responsible for the production of the machines that make the components, the vehicles, the upcoming facility is going to be very busy, points out Teslarati, which is why they've expanded that factory, as factories like Gigafactory Berlin is going to need to be filled with production equipment, as they want to make batteries or cells at Giga Berlin. They want to make the Cybertruck and the Model Y at Giga Texas or Giga Austin. So that's why that particular factory in Germany, which never gets talked about because why would we talk about it? But it's incredibly important to the whole Tesla operation because that's where they make the machines that make the machines. I'll put a link to the original source in the show notes if you'd like to read more. Bit of good news for Volvo buyers. Electrify America today announcing an agreement with Volvo to provide drivers of the XC40 Recharge and the upcoming C40 Recharge with 250 kilowatt hours of free charging on the Electrify America network. Always good. I'll be honest, not the biggest amount. That's going to be three or four charges, depending on if it's top-ups, maybe three, four, five charges. But, you know, the reason I love this is because it gets people using the chargers for the first time without worrying, without thinking, oh, am I being billed here if I make a mistake? Am I plugging in the wrong... Look, if you think back to the first electric car you came across, you know, and I certainly do, when I start to get interested, I'm like, right, there's different plug sockets and different speeds. I've got to learn about all this, right? It feels silly saying it now. But that's great news for Volvo buyers. The XC40 and C40 Recharge now arriving at Volvo showrooms across the US, and owners can feel confident knowing that they've got a really seamless, ultra-fast charging network. 635 EA stations now, I think, about 2,700 individual fast chargers across the country as part of the collaboration. Volvo and Electrify America engineers have been working closely together. I know it's something that Electrify America, like all the charging networks, will want to do and get annoyed when it doesn't happen, which is to work closely with the car makers to get vehicles. As soon as we can get a vehicle, let's plug it in, let's test it, even if it's just, you know, pre-production model, just so they can start learning about how that car works with their hardware, the software they've put on top of it, probably some payment software they've layered on top of that as well. If you missed it recently, I did an interview with Toddington, who is the CEO of GridServe Electric Highway here in the UK. I popped to Braintree to have a chat with him. Fascinating Saturday special interview. It's in the archive. Go and check it out if you haven't listened yet. What a fascinating guy to talk to. GridServe are investing millions of pounds in upgrading our charging network on the motorway, networks here in the UK, and their electric forecourt, where they've got their 30-plus chargers in Braintree. He was pointing out the window, and he was like, that hardware down there, the 350-kilowatt, you know, units, is the absolute best of the best that they could get their hands on at the right price. And still, when they opened, new EVs that were brand new to the market, first ones off the ships or the factories, would be plugging in and there'd be stickiness or the handshake wouldn't go well. And the drivers would say, but you've just opened up. And they would say, I know. So let's work with our hardware manufacturers. I think they use a lot of ABB stuff. And the hardware makers themselves would say, look, we just don't get access to the cars early enough. And if we did, we could plug them in and work out to make sure that it's not sticky for the first few weeks. Of course, they can send over the air updates to the chargers, you know, within hours sometimes, to rewrite those bits of code and make sure it's all fine. But he was saying, look, you think you go out there, you pick the best stuff on the market, you put it into your charging network, you install it and go, ta-da, it's done. It's not done because there's a constant over-the-air updates to do as new cars come to market. So that's great news that Volvo are working with Electrify America. I would hope lots of charging networks. I'm sure they are. Hey, if you watch Bjørn Newland's videos, he's the Norwegian YouTuber who does lots of testing on cars. He's done a 1,000 kilometer challenge, as he often does, and this time he's used a 2021 Model 3 long range Californian made version, 82 kilowatt hour battery. It's the Panasonic cells, and he did his 1,000 kilometer challenge quicker than anything else he's ever tested, like the Audi e-tron GT. He beat that time, 9 hours and 20 minutes to drive 1,000 kilometres. So how did he do it? Well, this particular test, he left home, as he always does, where he left the charging station completely full. He stopped after 250 miles, that's 400 kilometres, a Tesla V3 supercharger. Then he stopped again at 354 miles, or 570 kilometres, at an Ionity. Then he stopped again at 457 miles at a non-Tesla charger. And then he stopped for the final time at 539 miles or 868 kilometres at an Ionity station again. So then he's obviously charged up at the beginning, as you would do on a road trip. He's run it down almost empty. I've not watched the video yet. I've just seen the report of it. And then by the look of those four stops, what he's doing is just riding that wave of the fastest possible charge curve by... as soon as the charging speed starts to slow down, probably I imagine he'd be looking at something like, you know, 125, 130 kilowatts. When it starts to slow down and ramp down, unplug, move on. And, you know, that's not how the average family are going to be road tripping, but he's tried to do 1,000 kilometres as quick as possible. 9 hours and 20 minutes, which is slightly slower than the combustion car that he did it in, only by a few minutes, as kind of a benchmark test. Right, moving on. And to promote cross-border EV driving and charging if you're on a road trip around bits of Europe, so Belgium, the Netherlands, Luxembourg, the so-called Benelux countries, they're joining together with a kind of a registration scheme to ensure that national borders are not an obstacle, writes Electrive. The IDRO will issue unique ID codes for the charging station operators and the service providers in those countries and manage them as well. So you can have a single charge card for any of the networks in that kind of bigger network, as it were, and they will look after, you just charge a car, they will look after pointing the bill to the right person from the right charging network. As Francois Bush, the Deputy Prime Minister of Luxembourg and Minister for Mobility, says, it's crucial that all charge cards work across all of Europe. Not in that territory by a long way yet, but that's where he thinks we should get to, and who can argue with him? So if you're not using contactless on your bank card, which is, you know, if you are just passing through a network, you're never going to use that again, why have an RFID card? Don't get me wrong, RFID cards, very useful to be part of a network if you're a fleet, if you've got a car that, you know, is not yours, because otherwise you're doing it on your bank card, on contactless, then you're claiming it back. No, just give me like a fuel card in the old days. I mean, they're still around, but, you know. But give me a fuel card, like a charging card, that's fine. RFID cards are no problem. But if it's your own car and you're passing through a network that you're only going to use once, contactless is absolutely what you want, but if you have got an RFID card, you want to be able to use it wherever you go and just get billed appropriately. And that's what this registration scheme, at least in these countries of Belgium, Netherlands, Luxembourg, are doing. Brilliant. Next, Singapore is powering up their EV charging network with efforts to expand their charging network for EVs, offering to co-fund installation costs in private residents across the island, grants of up to $3,000 until they get to the 2,000 EV charger mark. The EV Common Charger Grant is what it's called in Singapore, and it's all part of their goal of rolling out 60,000 chargers over the next 10 years. Applicants of the grant, says ZDNet.com, can be a charge point operator or owners of non-landed property, like a management corporation. They added that the only systems that they will give the grant to are smart charging systems. So those are the ones that have the monitoring of the power consumption and can be reactive to the rate of charging. So only smart charging systems added to Singapore's network will be approved for some of the free grant money. This is a sign of where it's going, isn't it? Because I think more and more, both your home charger and public chargers will need to be connected and need to be Some people think they're going to be taxed as well, you know, in lost fuel duty revenue that your home EV charging, when it's parked in your driveway, that the governments around the world will try and tax your home usage by insisting that your home charger must be smart and report what your car has charged. I don't know, you're getting into dodgy territory now, but I can see it happening somewhere, but also with public chargers as well. So you put into a, you know, 150 kilowatt charging station, for instance, and you plug in and your car's pulling 30, 40 or 50, it could be there's no problem. It could just be that the grid's very expensive or, you know, dirty, or if they took more juice from the grid, they would incur extra charges. So it could be that they're slowing you down on purpose. So lots of reasons why chargers will want to be connected, but we'll wait and see where this goes. I think that it's not so much a slippery slope, but I think that horse has definitely bolted now. Right, let's talk about question of the week with emobilitynorway.com. With chargers being rolled out, but quite slowly, and chargers, DC fast chargers at least, still at a premium, should they automatically stop charging? And should the car release the cable, if it is a CCS combo plug, at 80%? Or should it be a certain percentage, maybe 85, maybe 90? Email me your thoughts, I'll read them out on Sunday. hello@evnewsdaily.com. After all, does anybody really need to be on a DC fast charging station after 80%? Cars ramp down, they start charging slowly. Some people will insist on sitting on them till 100%. They're doing nothing wrong, breaking no laws, just being a little bit rude to someone waiting. But hey, tell me your thoughts. I mean, a lot as well. If you can ever review this podcast, either on the Apple iTunes, on your phone or tablet, or even on your computer, a little star rating and a few words really helps other people discover this show. Thanks always to our premium partners on Patreon: Phil Roberts of Electric Future, Brad Crosby, Porsche of the Village in Cincinnati, Audi of Cincinnati East, Volvo Cars of Cincinnati East, nationalcarcharging.com and alohacharge.com. Also, Derek Riley from the EV Review Island YouTube channel. If you haven't checked out what Derek's doing, man, he's busy. Where does he find the time to make his videos? They're so good. Richard at rsev.co.uk for buying and selling EVs in the UK, and emobilitynorway.com. Have a good one. I'll see you tomorrow, and remember, there's no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.